another episode, surprisingly, of a free lockdown. Damn it. I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. This is the lockdown edition because we still haven't got our Patreon up, so it's still for free for you people. So, anyway. And we're not going to ask for you, a lot. So, with me is my sensitive co-host, Miss Tifflebot. Say what's up to the people, Tiff.
Hello, everybody. Happy to be here.
Oh, wow. You sound so enthusiastic. I appreciate that so much.
This is my news anchor voice.
It sounds like it. I don't know
what happened. I'm ready to talk about the movie. It's just, I get nervous when I know you're going to talk to me. And then I'm like, what am I going to say?
And then you come on like fire, so cut that shit out.
And I'm like, hello, it's me.
I know. But we got another surprise for y'all, man. We had what? We had Dave last week, man. We bringing guests on our number one homie podcast. We've been in thick and thin since the beginning. I've been on a show for the Matrix trilogy. Mr. Randy Savage! My man, what's happening?
Hello, how's everyone doing?
he come on so humble after an introduction like that. We're doing good, man. We're doing real good. How are you?
I am doing great. I am so amped to talk about the societal niches of this movie here. Like, it's just...
I know.
Eating off the crumbs of the rich.
So, Randy gave it away. We're talking about Parasite this week, okay? So, we talked about Parasite a long time ago because, you know, Best Picture. And we were like, what the hell is Parasite? You know, I think me and Dwayne was like clueless to this whole thing. Like, what the hell is Parasite? Rated R. I thought that Parasite was a horror movie. And so, I was like, it's a horror movie that's Best Picture? Okay, so, you know, that's like maybe Train to Busan. And it's Korean, I believe.
It is Korean, yes.
And so we were like, you know, okay, I said, let's do it. You know, I had a friend of mine call me and be like, man, Parasite is the shit. I said, okay, let's do it. So Parasite, 2019, rated R, 2 hours, 12 minutes. That's 12 minutes longer than Tiff has patience for anything, just so
correct.
If anybody was
two
like,
hours what? Is
no. After I've sat through Gone with the Wind, I'm ready to sit down through anything.
What is that, 3 hours, 45 minutes, something like that?
Goodness. It is. Man. It's the only, like, only two movies I've seen that have an intermission, and I'm just like...
It sure does.
Y'all wrong for this.
It does. It's like, it's like, all right, hit the pause. So we got a comedy, drama, thriller. I don't know why I thought this was a horror movie. So I was like,
well, it's weird because I do think, well, we can get into that later, but.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Comedy is a weird choice.
No. Yeah. This was funny as shit.
Yes, there are funny parts in this movie. Like, I do find humor in some of it, but I wouldn't say it's a comedy. Does that make sense?
I wouldn't put it as a comedy either. I agree with you. Like, it's things.
Like, I'm not going to sit down and watch this for my giggles and guffaws.
I feel like it's a lot of like you. If you think of this reminded me a lot of the TV show called The Riches. I don't know if anyone's ever seen that one.
I know who it is. It's got that guy, the British guy,
Eddie Lizard. There's one.
Yes.
Eddie Lizard and the one with the giant head. Hang on, they'll come to me. Nope, I forgot it. Anyway. But like it's the same concept and it's the same
mini,
kind of
mini
like
Driver.
Mini Driver, that's the one with the giant head. Okay.
Oh wow, Mini Driver. I know Mini Driver. Okay.
Yeah. All right. And it's like a basically the same concept except this is only in Korean and it's where in the TV show it was a family home moves into this house like an empty house where this one kind of invades a house.
Interesting.
Yes.
So no horror movie for me. So I was, you know, waiting for the big blah. It never happened. So anyway, man, what does it says? Greed and class discrimination threaten the newly formed symbiotic relationship between the wealthy Park family and the destitute Kim clan. So that's what this is supposed to be about. Mm-hmm. And if I'd have read it, I'd been fine. Directed Bong Joon-ho. So there we go. Marks. So, ma'am.
This is some very difficult Korean names to pronounce.
Oh, we won't worry about it. We'll take a Code 45's method of dealing with foreign movies. and call
yeah. I just don't want to offend anybody with my horrible pronunciation.
Oh, no, 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 no.
No, you just run with it. You run with it and you mess it up and you apologize profusely as you do it.
Right. We'll call her Little Village Horror Girl and him Big Homie and all kind of shit. So don't worry about it, Chip. We're good.
Yeah.
So
I wouldn't go so far as horrible.
I get that from what is it, Rambo 2. She was like, Little Village Horror Girl. I was like, oh, fuck. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
Right? I was like, damn. So before we go headstrong into this, let's hit one word. Our guest, one word. What you got?
Righteous.
Oh.
I'm with you, Tiff, on that one.
That's a nice word.
Tifflebot.
Anxious.
Really?
Okay. Yes, I was waiting for them to get caught the whole time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So good. And I'm thinking because this was a horror movie, I'm like, oh boy. That's my one word. Oh boy.
So when was the scaries?
Yeah, I wasn't scared.
Nothing happened. So anyway, but that might be my fault, but that's my one word. So let's hit the spoilers before we get into this head deep. And let's go with it. So, you know, first of all, everybody, if you don't know, this is all in subtitles.
So no, God!
Deal with that.
No, God, please, no! No!
There is a majesty of movies waiting for you. You just have to hop over the one-inch fence of subtitles. Come on, guys. It's not that hard.
It's fine.
I'll say this about these subtitles, though. You know, yeah. I saw Train to Busan. Subtitles were a lot easier to read. This was fast. When it first started, I had to like stop it and rewind it a few times. I was like, I can't read that fast. I'm just saying. I'm not that old damn old. I'm old, but I'm not that damn old. I was like, rewind it. So I'm glad I didn't see this in the theaters, you know, because it was pretty fast, some of it. So it starts out showing a day-to-day routine of this very extremely destitute family that's, you know, pretty much living in the basement, you know, who knows how much this apartment cost. And they were like so super destitute, they were stealing everything, internet, whatever, anything they can do. They were like working for a network, making pressing pizza boxes together, and every day for them was a hustle, but it wasn't an extraneous hustle, because they were like very used to the things they were doing. It was all routine to them, like as far as like looking for the internet signal that had disappeared from the person ahead of them. But let's go look for a new draw and find a new internet signal. You guys think I got that right? I mean, that's what was happening. Yes. Tiff? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So
they were just skimming the internet.
Yes. So they find the internet and they come down and I'm like, what in the world? I was like, oh, they really, really, really are trying to do things. Now, wondering in my mind when this was happening was, is this how a lot of people in Korea live? Is it like this bad, or is this just as bad for this family? I mean, does anybody know?
No, but I know I felt it when they were folding pizza boxes while choking on poisonous gas.
Oh, yeah. They wanted the free pest extermination.
Yeah, because I was like, I was doing the same thing. I am trying to survive the work while still... by ruining my body. Like I don't know if anyone else has gone to work with a flu, but I've done that several times. I couldn't afford not to go to work.
Yeah.
I felt that.
Yeah. I felt that
too. I would assume that this is a reality for a lot of people who live in Korea. But it's hard to say because I think that a lot of what Korean media presents is very clean.
Yeah.
It's a very clean and beautiful version of Korea.
North Korea for sure.
But I think like South Korea, like I've watched a lot of like K dramas, and it's all a very
clean,
like a squeaky clean version of life. So who knows? I mean, I just don't know. I'm sure that this is a reality for a lot of people.
I thought so. I was like, man, it must be pretty shitty.
I feel like it's a reality for a lot of people in general. Like.
Yes.
Anyone who's been poor, this is how you live. You scrounge to survive.
So I like when the brother and sister find an internet signal on top of the toilet. And y'all, I just got to say that goddamn toilet being like 6 feet high. I was like, what the hell?
That's how they built it.
I guess
it's probably because there's it's like a semi basement. It's semi basement, and I wonder if like plumbing has to be. There must be something to do with the plumbing.
I guess, man. So,
well, that's where it stopped.
That's where it stops. Not going any deeper.
Yep.
So this family, they find an internet signal, man, and you know, and then we get into their day to days. You know, they're getting like, you know, problems from the pizza folding place. You know, their whole existence is like with, you know, social media and popular things like that. As far as, you know, we're gonna compete with this lady who can fold these boxes faster. They have the issue. The lady saying, "Hey, I'm taking 10% because you guys didn't do it right, and these boxes are not, the lines are not straight." Just shit that, you know, bothers things. But for them, they weren't bothered by any of this. If you were paying attention, they were just like, you know, this is one extra obstacle that whatever, we'll just keep rolling, you know. But they were like straight street hustlers. Everything was like a negotiate. Let's try to, you know, figure this out. And so I'm fine with this, and I'm just trying to see where this thing goes at this point in time. So then we get the college boy that comes over while the guy is trying to pee in the alley. And the mom, mm-hmm. she like admires the college boy, and you know, this the friend of the brother. We're going to call all these characters the college boy, the brother, the mother, the father, the sister, the rich woman, whatever. So he comes over and he has a proposition for the brother. "Hey, I need somebody to go. You're one of the best guys I know that can learn, that can teach English better than the guys in the university. Well, you should go and do this thing, and it'll make me look good, and you can make some money." And so
it's not why he did it, because that guy wants to fuck the daughter.
Which guy wants to f the daughter?
The college boy didn't trust any of his friends to do it.
Yeah. So he didn't want anyone else to go there and also try to fuck the daughter.
Oh, wow.
So he thought that his friend would not do that. That's why he did it. His friend is actually very bad at English. That's why he failed the entrance exam to college several times. But he thought that he would be a good teacher because he's well-versed in the exam.
Well, here we go. And so I missed that whole goddamn thing.
But then he does end up fucking her, or trying to fuck her, I guess.
Yeah.
Out of the eloquent mouths of Tiffelbot.
Yeah,
that's what happens.
So you're exactly right, Tiffelbot. That's exactly what happens. So he goes over for his interview. "I want to watch you teach the kid," and all of a sudden the landscape changes. Right? I mean, she gets to the house and they got property and money, and I'm jealous because it looks so good. You know, like, god damn. I mean, what about you, Randy? I mean, where are you at right there?
I was like more interested because somebody had said something about straight lines in this movie, and I was keeping my eye out for straight lines. And how, when you compare his house to their house, it's more like it's spacious. There's so much space around. And that's how you know you're in a rich neighborhood, when you're not. And that's comparatively to being completely compact and crammed into a space, versus this kid has the entire run of this giant house to do whatever he wants. Or, you know, her bedroom is the size of their entire house.
Yeah, it's like, right.
It's about space, how they can just wave their arms and not touch any of the walls. And like, I was like, yeah, that's how rich folks live. They have more space than they need to deal with. And it's like, you could build more houses right here. And like 50 families could have lived in this house.
Of course, the rich folks weren't even appreciative or cognizant of how much space that they have and how much that they just take for granted, you know, compared to this other family, you know.
I also thought she was like drunk. Like when they first meet her, like outside, I was like, was she just sitting out there asleep in the yard, or was she like drunk in the yard?
I want to say that never actually pays off.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree.
It doesn't, but I was like, because, I'm curious.
She is not, because they're always like, oh, I think she's simple. But it's like, I never got that impression. I just thought she was, I guess oblivious is probably a better word. Like she's a rich person who's too above everyone to notice anyone below her.
Yeah, she's definitely naive. Like all of those,
sure.
Google would have told you about the TV stuff. You didn't have to like listen to this guy. I was like, what? Okay. You don't, and it's like, you don't do any kind of research on the guy who's tutoring your teenage daughter at all. You don't even look up his references.
Well, he came online. He came like, with the magical documents with the seals on them, man. You know that they, you know.
You could have called someone at the university and be like, "Do you guys even know, you know, some young guy?" And then they would have been like, "No, we don't know your some young guy. We're whatever. What are you talking about?"
Yeah, well, he gets in, man. He comes in. He wows the mom, you know, the rich mom, and you know, and the babysitter is there. I mean, well, the housekeeper, and she's you know, not paying attention to anything. She's just doing her job and making sure everything is running the right way it's supposed to be running. And he gets introduced to the daughter, and he does the post check, which is like, I assume in that culture, touching, you know, a person is without permission was just like some shit, because when he grabbed her pulse and, you know, did that thing, everybody was like, and I was like, wow, there must be some shit with that. I mean, I don't know, Tiff. Yeah or no? You know more about Asian culture than any of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's probably like more like spatial issues.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you wouldn't necessarily do that. But at the same time, I think that if you had someone meeting your teenage daughter for the first time doing a lesson and they touched them even in that way, which was not in any way sexual, it was bizarre.
It right? was. I'll
I would probably say, yeah. I would probably say, you can leave and not come back.
You know, fucked up, you know that, don't you?
I see what I'm saying. I thought.
No, so, you know what I'm saying? You done fucked up now, you know that, don't you?
Yeah, get so, your ass out of here. Who you grabbing on? Leave that girl alone, punk. Right. So, you know, he wins them over. He wins the mom over, man. You know, they do the razzle dazzle. Well,
his name's Kevin.
Yeah. And
Kevin. I don't know. That was weird to me that they had like English names. Well, for him, it made sense because he was supposedly an English tutor. So I was like, oh, okay. So like that must be like a tutoring thing. Like you call them Kevin. But then like, why did they call her Jessica?
Well, check this out. I thought that those names were just subtitle names. I didn't.
I thought they were made up names. I thought because Jessica was the person that he met in Illinois, because he, being an English student from the United States, knows this person named Jessica, who was also an art student with his cousin in the United States. And it's like, that was the lie.
But like, okay. But no, Montego, they're real names. You can hear, if you
She does say Kevin. She says Kevin. You are absolutely right. Kevin. Yep, you're right.
But here's the thing. But you would be able to tell if someone is a native English speaker, even if you are, like, you'd be like, oh, this person hasn't lived in America. I can tell.
I agree.
So, I mean,
but then that leans on the naivety.
That's true. And also, like, I think it's, she's just there for the art
Right.
To be an art teacher. So I guess there's no English lessons needed.
And
so,
she said like six things to her, like, no, wait outside. I'm like,
yeah, she comes in and she like rouses the little brother, and who was just like the most overprivileged kid in the history of goddamn kids, other than Trump. Goddamn. I mean, he's like, the whole world bends to his will and his fantasies, even the parents. And, you know, he's doing his thing. Jessica comes over, but she rouses them pretty quick and has him together, you know, showing him that direct thing. And I thought it was funny when she was talking about the art therapy thing, which Tiff just mentioned, that she just Googled it while the mama was out of the room and stuff like that. So they're slick, man, and they're trusty phones. We go back to the phones. They keep getting the information from the phones, which is enough to fool these people with the care of their kids. So we get the brother in, we get the sister in, and I think it's like pretty cool how that one thing leads to another. Mm-hmm. You know, they target the driver. The girl, I didn't know what the hell was going on when she started taking off the panties, Randy. I was like, what the hell is happening? She, you know, is she attracted? Is something about to go down? And it's all a trap, Tiff. God damn.
Mm-hmm.
Man. She takes.
I don't understand why she couldn't have an extra pair of undies in her bag,
because they had to smell to, you know.
Yeah. She could have brought dirty ones.
They had to be fresh.
He did smell them. It was very strange.
Yeah, no, he did.
Yep. I was like, oh, you know they're undies. You don't need to smell them.
I'm sorry, Jeff, but I think I would have did the same thing. I think most men would have been like, hey, is these like some extra draws somebody left around, or is these used?
I would never smell a pair of undies that I found.
Of course, because you're a woman. I'm saying most men would
not on the ground or anything, but maybe in a car or in a box or something.
I would have put them up to my nose, Randy. I'm sorry.
I would smell a pair of undies I found in the woods.
Yeah, I think these are fresh.
You might want to fucking edit this shit out because everyone's gonna think you're gross.
Nah, that was like,
no. You guys are nasty perverts.
Men won't think we're gross. It's not like we're like on the hunt, but that's just that instinct. You just like, hey. What the hell? Are these like some draws that just somebody just left in a pack? Are these my wives? No. These.
I mean, they definitely would smell different from straight from the pack.
Exactly. I'm just going to take a quick sniff. I'm not like.
You would smell plastic. You would just be like, right, no. Exactly. But that seems weird. Why are these warm still?
We're not trying to inhale deeply, Tiff. Get out of here. So.
Yeah. Context clues. Like, right. Yeah.
And here's the worst part about me. You probably don't know that. My nose, my sense of smell is probably my best. I smell everything. I'm always like, what the hell? What happened in here? So anyway, man, he smells the draws, and next thing you know, we fired a driver, man, you know? And
I mean, if he's a good driver, I wouldn't fire him for having sex in the car.
You might just want to have a brother to brother, but I figured that was a cultural thing, because you know I would have been like, listen, don't bring no more holes in my car, you know what I'm saying, just do what you do, don't, you know, you ain't the man. But no, he had to go. Tiff, he had to go.
Yeah. Well, okay, so they spiral into this narrative so hard, because it's like, because as a woman, who would leave their panties behind like that? And it's like, well, you probably wouldn't unless you couldn't.
Shit.
Like, I mean, after I sniffed them, I just threw them in the back seat. That's where I left.
I know. Nobody's leaving. Hey.
So. Go ahead. The driver's gone and they hire the dad.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who is a terrible driver.
Oh, my God. Well, at first, I disagree with you, Tiff, because he comes in.
He's never looking at the road. Even later, he gets sassed for it.
He does.
He passed the test, though. He passed the little coffee cup test.
Thank you, Randy. That's exactly where I was going. He passed the coffee cup test, you know.
I don't know how he did that, but okay.
And so he gets a job. So now, you know, this conniving-ass family goes after the housekeeper who we think at the point in this point in the movie is so sweet and don't deserve this shit. But, you know, they get some shit on her. They make up some stuff on her. They
make her sick tuberculosis.
Yeah. They start sprinkling her with peaches, which she's allergic of. And she keeps coughing. They put the blood. I mean, they had to work on her, because it was kind of bad. Because in my opinion, like, she loved the boy, you know. She's spinning the boy around. The boy loved her, you know. And they still got her ass up out of there. Like, three of them working for this family wasn't enough. They had to get the mom in there, too. You know, so it was just like, damn.
And the mom does not seem like she would not. I don't think she would have been able to pull this off. Because she seems very.
Unpolished.
Bitchy, I guess, is the word I would use.
Yeah.
So, like, I just don't think she would be able to maintain her composure for that long, because it doesn't really last that long, because we see she's the last one to join, and then things kind of start to fall apart after that.
I agree, you know,
very much so. Yeah.
So guys, I know they was fucking up when they were sitting around just chilling.
Why would you do that? That would be so uncomfortable.
And they had it all nasty with shit everywhere, and I'm like, they're gonna come home. They're gonna come home. They're gonna come home. And lo and behold. While they're sitting there having a ball, getting drunk. I mean, and which was so weird for me, seeing them getting destroyed with their kids, because I can't imagine myself getting destroyed with my kids.
You know. You got to be older. That's all.
My kids are older, also, and I can't imagine, you know.
They're drinking the rich family's liquor.
Oh, they would never know, though, Tiff.
How are you going to explain the missing expensive liquors?
Well, Tiff.
You swap it out with cheaper stuff.
Not only that, the housekeeper buys the food. You know, so they would never know if they drink went all through their liquor or whatnot. You know what I'm saying? Because they're so nonchalant about dumb shit. They showed the mom trying to cook when the housekeeper wasn't there and tried to, she couldn't do a goddamn thing.
You try to wash the clothes in a dishwasher.
So, okay, this is the part of the preview that I saw. And so that's why I also thought it was a horror movie, because I saw her downstairs in between the wall and the bookshelf or whatever it was, the storage unit.
Yes, yes.
Trying to move the shelf. But I thought that the person had gone in the basement and just saw someone down there laying on a shelf. So I was very confused. But then I was like, oh, she's fucking pushing. She's trying to open the basement. And I still didn't know what the fuck she was going to do down there. And she's all fucked up. She's got like peach swelling from her peach allergy.
Yeah.
And they finally open the basement and she runs down there and she's like, baby. And I was like, oh God, I thought there was going to be something down there that wasn't a human. Right.
Yeah, because I thought it was a horror movie too, Tiff. I thought it was about to.
I actually expected three families down there.
Like, yeah, something else, like more people.
I expected a whole army of people down there, just like just living there, and like, what the fuck?
So she goes down there, and her husband is down there.
Yeah, what a clown is this that guy? Gives him a
bottle.
Yeah, yeah.
That's one thing that I don't understand. Like, why did she give him a bottle?
Like, it's a can of spinach or something like that, you know? Like,
yeah, why? Like, he also ate a banana.
Yep.
But it's like it's not like he can't eat regular food. And I think it's all part of this. You know, we're supposed to feel very bizarre and strange about it because it is strange. But like, there was like real stories about like that woman in Japan who lived in that man's closet for like a month before they found her.
No, I never heard of that.
So, like, shit happens like this. It's weird. But, like, so basically he's been living down there for 4 years.
Four years. And that space was pretty vast. I was like, shit.
It was big.
Yeah. It's about as big as the house.
No sun.
Yeah, what? Wait. No, why leave if you can go up and sneak food? Shit.
I would hate it down there.
All the family falls down the stairs, and it's like, so the old housekeeper is like, oh, you guys are scamming them too.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, now we got you on tape and you guys are going to start, like, they had him upstairs with their hands up like they were about to shoot him with this
social media
bomb they had going, this dead man switch on the trigger of the video. They're going to post it on Facebook or whatever. And then they're like, she was doing like a bit for her husband. And in the middle of the bit, she lost concentration and then there's a side tackle, and then
the family's
like, hey, we're coming back. You guys know how to make rondon? And I was like, what? And then I saw a video on YouTube of how to make rondon, and the guy explained it. It's like, imagine you get a Big Mac and then throw $65 of black truffle on top of it. That's the same thing. It's literally packaged ramen with $55 worth of sirloin on top of it.
God damn.
The end.
What a waste. What a waste.
And I was like, what? Why would you, like, you're so rich. You're like, nah, I just want some meat with my ramen. And it's like, get an egg or something then.
And it was supposed to be the little brother's rondon. So.
Yeah, it's for the kid.
Right.
It's not even for the adult. $65.
So the scramble is on at this point, y'all. You know, they're like running through the house and brushing shit underneath the couches. And, you know, and I'm like, oh no, oh no. You know, everything is like cosmetic. Family comes home. They got the family tied up in the basement. Now, two things happened too. The boy was like, I'm going to take care of this. But then the father was like, oh, the father about to kill these son of bitches, you know, and the boy might kill him. But the lady fell down the stairs and stuff, and her head was busted. So I just knew she was about to croak. But, you know, dad goes and ties her up. He ties him up. He gags him and, you know, closes the door and leave him down there. So they're hiding underneath the table. And everything seems cool. The little boy wants to go out in the torrential rain. The torrential goddamn rain. And be a Native American, you know, Apache or whatever. While the parents are outside the window. And they say, well, we might as well sleep down here because he's out there by himself. So I said, at least they're going to sit out there. And then the weird stuff happened with them start screwing.
Yeah, that was, but they don't even really have sex. And I was like,
nope.
Why?
It was
so weird. Get their clothes dirty.
It was so, when she was talking about, I'm a drug addict or whatever. I was like,
yeah, what? Buy me drugs.
Right, buy me
diamonds.
He was like, put the dirty panties on.
And
she was like, buy me
dress. No! I was like, what is this?
I want a new car. If you want, I'll put the panties on if you buy me a new car.
I'm sitting there like, what the shit?
So that happens. They fall asleep, and then the family creeps. They weigh the hell out of there. They all come out, you know, creeping out. So, you know, I think it's the brother and the sister, and the dad, they make it out of there. And the mom stays there to kind of like play interference because she's supposed to be living there.
She lives there.
Oh, yeah, because she's the housekeeper.
Right, she's supposed to be living there. And so then they go back to their old neighborhood, and the torrential rains are way worse than anybody would think. They're like literally.
And it's flooded with doo-doo water.
Oh, it's so bad. They made sure
it's like, it's the contrast of living on the mountaintop when the kid gets to play in this rain, but down below where all the rich or all the poor people are, you're getting everything that they've been dropping down. And it's like, and the matter of space, like the kid has the whole backyard and it's not gonna flood here. But this tiny, tiny apartment that's buried underneath another six buildings, and then every inch of rain from the last year shows up, and it's drowning them as they get further. Like, I was like, it reminded me of them walking into hell. It's like they're walking down the stairs, and you could just see how things get poorer and poorer as they walk, and the water keeps rising and rising, and it's like they get to the bottom and it's like their like ankles are getting covered, and it's like, what is going on? And they get to their street and they're like up to their waist.
Yep. And then they get to their toilet that just,
oh, that toilet when it's exploding with turds, I was like, no.
And they were so comfortable with it though, which Gabby was like, you know, your sister got on top of it just so she can look at her phone. I'm like, oh God. Oh,
that's where the internet was.
Right. So, you know,
because it's like when you live there and it's like, this is how life is. We sit on the toilet so the shit doesn't get on our shoes.
Ain't that a bitch? So everything, the rain goes away. The mom is at the house, and they decide all of a sudden. Now, this is what got me. Why did the boy need a party out of nowhere?
Because it was his birthday.
But an impromptu, ridiculous, gargantuan party. I guess it was not his rich. Birthday.
The trip that they take every year to clear out the house and the old man comes up and hangs out was a birthday trip. And it's like, it's planned every year because the old man scared the kid 5 years ago. And it's like, now he doesn't like the house, especially on his birthday. It brings out the ghost, and the ghost is the old man. So his parents, being rich, are like, well, we'll just leave. We'll go somewhere else for a weekend and whatever. And like, so they leave, and that lets the guy come up and the sunshine or whatever. And that's why she knew that they weren't going to be there that night.
God damn it. See, I missed all that shit, man. I'm sitting there like ghosts in the house, and what the fuck? I mean, I'm telling y'all, old eyes and subtitles.
Yeah, I'm starting to remember it all back now. It's like, so because the rain ruined their camping trip and they had to return home, they're like, well, we'll have a birthday party tomorrow. And, you know, because we can do that. We can create, because we're so rich.
Right.
We can just pop a party out of nothing.
And let's invite Kevin, and let's invite, you know, this person, and let's invite this person. They bring, you know, everybody's coming to the same part. So we know, Tiff, that it's about to go down, right? Because everybody's coming, right?
Yeah. And they were in a displaced people's. Because,
like, what to them was playtime in the rain was a fucking natural disaster for the people down below.
Yep.
And it's like, they had no idea. They felt none of it. The rain fell off their backs like ducks. Yep. And it's like, but it drowned out all the fleas that were below them. And it's just like, that's how they thought about these people. Where it's like, they're nothing. And the fact, like, and then when they were jerking each other off and they're talking about how the dad smelled, I was like, oh my God.
Wasn't that a bitch?
This is the point where I would bust at the table and choke one of you fuckers alive.
He said that they all smell kind of the same, you know? Like, yeah. And I was like,
The little kid said they all smell the same.
Yeah. Which was probably ridiculously accurate. So,
but everybody who lives in the same house smells, has the same
smell. Absolutely. So at this point, this is where you can see shit going bad because, you know, they got the dad and the chauffeur, who was the other dad, dressed as Native Americans. And he's like looking at him like, and he has to tell him, hey, you get paid a lot. you know, do as I say. You know, don't question me, yeah. pretty much. And the guy's looking at him like, you're a dead man. I'm going to kill you. I was like, oh, shit, you're going to kill a dude.
Well, I think it does, like, one of the brilliant things about this movie. There's, like, a lot of stuff that Randy has been saying this whole time is, you know, there's a lot of overt but also subtle ways that differentiate the rich from the poor in this movie.
This rich man here is appropriating a culture and telling his underling to do the same thing.
And then he's also saying, like, so there's this whole, another thing that, like, is problematic for people who are poor is that, like, in the cycle of poverty, is that, like, there's this idea that you should be grateful.
Yep.
To your employer
for whatever we give you a job,
when really the employer should be grateful to you because you are giving them a service. It's not like you're just there doing, you know what I mean? Like, the money isn't just for whatever. The money is because I am giving you what essentially is some of my life. I'm like giving you hours of my life, and you are paying me for those.
Well,
that's capitalism.
That's the whole.
You give away your life essence for the paper that they've printed for nothing. And it's like, but the other thing about it was, like, I was thinking just now about Fight Club, where it's like, you have no idea who you are fighting against. And it's like, we are the people who drive your cars, who know where you sleep, who fix you, who protect you during the night. And it's like, and if you fuck with us, there is no telling how far we'll go to protect our own.
Well, that's the whole point of the movie, right? The title is Parasite, not Symbiotic. Because if it was symbiotic, then it would be a mutual respect for each other's, you know, existence. But because it's a parasite, one person is living off the other. But who the hell is living off of who in this thing, you know?
That's,
so
that's the brilliance of it.
So
who's the parasite, right?
The husband of the housekeeper breaks free, right? And he sneaks his ass out in the middle of his birthday party.
Well, the son comes downstairs because he's going to kill him.
Well, and the son was up there messing around with the daughter at the same time, you know.
Right, and then he was like, hold on, I'm going to go downstairs. I got this rock. I'm going to bash this guy's head in. He drops the rock, and then the husband puts it in. So this was like, I was like, oh, shit. So the husband, like, puts a noose or garrote or whatever you want to say and, like, tries to leash him to the piping.
Yes.
But he breaks free, and then he kills him with a rock. Or doesn't kill him, I guess. He just he brains him with a rock.
Yeah. Right. I was like, oh, he got to be dead when this shit happened.
That's what I thought.
There's no surviving that. Because not only did he get him once, he got him on the rebound, right? Like, he double tapped. He came up and...
The other thing about the rock, that really kind of pissed me off. Because it's like, it's... The rock is a gift from his rich friend to his poor friend. And it's like, no, this rock will give you wealth and prosperity if you keep it in your household. And I was like, you just handed him a burden. That's nothing. You did nothing but handed him a burden and lies. This rock did none of that.
So
because it was all their lies that created their wealth, which crumbled under the truth. But like, then he's like, I got to protect this rock. And it's like, it's the only thing they're holding on to. And I'm like, but that was a burden, and it's a lie. It's built on a lie. There's literally nothing about this rock. It's magical. It's just there. It's just a fucking rock.
So old boy sneaks up the stairs, man. You know, in the middle of this birthday party, next thing you know, man, the Friday the 13th music comes up. Shit gets real, man. I'm like, what happened? Holy shit. Oh, he's stabbing him. Oh, my God. I wasn't ready for this, y'all. I'm just saying. Once people started getting stabby, 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 I was sitting there like, oh, shit. And, you know, so it goes down, man. So, Tiff, where are you with all this stuff at now, man? Because, you know, he's stabbing him and chasing him and, you know, goddamn, all in front of the people.
Well, I do think that there's a lot of, obviously, symbolism here, too. But, like, I think, you know, we're seeing, like, there's, like, stark color contrasts. And I do think that, like, there's a very clear message about, like, who is the lifeblood and who is, because, like, there's not much blood even when they stab the dad.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
But there's a lot of blood that comes from the poorer people. Mm. So, like, but I was like, I didn't expect this. This is not where I thought the movie was going to go. I thought that they would kill the people in the basement and, like, leave the bodies down there.
Yeah, me too.
But this, And here's the thing. So he stabs, he comes out and he wants revenge on the family because he's grateful to the rich family. He wants revenge on the poor family for like kind of ruining this good thing he has.
Oh yeah.
So he stabs the daughter.
And his wife is dead.
His wife's dead downstairs, yeah. And then he tries to kill the mom.
Yep.
The poor mom. And then the son sees him and has like a PTSD flashback.
The little boy. The rich little boy.
And so he like starts to have another one of those seizures that he needs to go to the hospital for. And that is when some stuff goes down. So there's the whole thing about smelling bad and like he's like, oh, he smells, and then that just drives the poor dad crazy. And I think that the only person in this whole film, I don't know, I guess the rich dad didn't really do anything to deserve.
He was an asshole. He had to go.
Being stabbed, but.
He was an asshole. That's enough.
He's the only one I felt like deserved to be stabbed because like he didn't even care that the girl was in trouble. Because he didn't know that was his daughter, but like someone else is actually also dying.
That was another one of his employees that he really didn't care about.
Yeah,
he was like, "Give me the keys."
Yep. Yeah, he could give a shit that a mayhem was happening in his backyard with all his friends and stuff like that. Let's roll. You know, I got to go. And I think he would have been that dude that would have ran over his wife and kids to get himself free. So, you know. Was that it at that point?
No, there was a like an epilogue.
Yeah, kind of like, yeah, I would say like an addendum, a little interlude. I don't know. So basically what happens is the son wakes up in the hospital and he narrates the last parts.
Yeah, because the daughter was gone, right?
The daughter died.
Yeah, the daughter didn't make it. And I think the mom was still alive, right?
The mom mm-hmm. survived and the son survived. They got charged with some
crimes.
Mm-hmm. But they looks like it wasn't called parole. It wasn't called parole, but it was like basically parole. Like they weren't gonna go to prison.
Mm-hmm. They got probation.
Mm-hmm. Probation, that's the word.
Mm-hmm. They got probation. And it's yeah.
And but here's the thing. I do wonder, like, it's very hard for ex-cons or people who have even been accused of committing crimes, even in America, to have a second chance.
Yeah.
And so mm-hmm. I think it's probably really, really hard in some other countries because there's a lot of Asian, and I'm not trying to speak as like some kind of Asian culture expert, but there's like a lot of not a shameful person or not like a, you know, like an embarrassment.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And so it would probably be really hard as somebody who's been charged with the crime.
Oh, yeah.
Like they were already having trouble getting employment.
Right. They didn't even have an employment. They had a hustle. That was yeah. right. That's what they were doing to begin with. You know, so.
The dad lives in the basement now.
For like years.
Oh, shit.
And then they have that weird thing where they make you think that they got rich, but they go back. That was like a dream. Not a dream, but like his fantasy of what he would do in the future.
Right, because the dad was doing the what do you call it, the Morse code thing and showed the boy that yes. after he got out and stuff. You know, I mean, when the boy was, you know, looking at the house and they didn't even live there no more and he was doing the Morse code thing and stuff. And so this is when the shit was like, okay, turn this shit off. He's going to.
No, far. I thought it was.
I didn't care at this point.
This is a very.
It got real heady towards Asian the end. Way.
To end a movie. This is like yeah. a, I think there's like a lot of like my experience with like Asian cinema and television is like what I call a lot of like sweet silences mm-hmm, and like mm-hmm. poignant, like there's like a poignancy of like sadness, like we are all sad together, this is our sadness. Mm. So like there's that, that's definitely I think pretty on point. But like I do find it, I think it's great that it won the Oscar, but I think that it's strange that it did. I'm glad that it did because it's about time that a foreign film won Best Picture.
I'm going to disagree with you on that one. I mean, I don't mind a foreign film, but I didn't see it with this. I was like, what, this shit?
Ugh. I'm surprised that a classist movie actually made it. got an Oscar from a bunch of rich folks. I'm like, oh, okay.
Maybe they were ashamed.
Yeah, it's like, I guess we should give them something.
I don't know, y'all. Last year, I don't know.
What did you think should have won instead?
I don't remember what was up, but I remember I was rooting for something else.
I don't remember what was up, but it shouldn't have won.
Yeah. I don't know if this should have won. I'm like, really? Okay. Yeah.
I don't usually watch a lot of movies that get nominated for Oscars, but hey, Liza, I know you're listening. Let us know.
Shit, all I know is Black Panther didn't win, so the hell with all y'all.
Yeah, that's what, that's all that's I what it was.
Oh, shit. So that's it, man. That's it. God damn it. It's a trip, y'all. I guess final words, man. Randy, what do you think, man?
Eat the rich. They really should have just came together as one family and just went up there and just like, all right, we're going to just eat them. We're going to stab them. Like, no, I don't think we could do that. Well, then you're not in the club anymore. We're going to, I don't know. I'm sick of rich people so much.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm with you with that, brother, until I get rich. Then I'll be like, get back, you peasants. Yeah. Get your ass back.
Get back in your holes.
Tiff, final words.
I liked it. I thought it was a very interesting, especially, like, for me, who's used to seeing like more happily toned things from, and that's just my proclivity. It's not necessarily that things aren't being made. It's just that like, so it was nice to see something very different than what I'm used to. And I liked it.
Got you. I dug it. Best picture. Hell no. That's how I feel about it. Best picture.
Comparatively to Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Joker was up. You're right. God damn it. No way this should have been Best Picture. I'm sorry.
1917, Marriage Story.
1917. God damn it. No way this should have been Best Picture. I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is my sensitive co-host, Miss Tifflebot. Say goodbye to the people. Tiff.
It's been a midweek pleasure.
My homie from the fan, from not Fans on Patrol, from
yeah, the Fans on Patrol,
from Cult 45 Podcast, Mr. Random Randy Savage. Say goodbye to your fans.
This is Random Randy Savage with Cult 45 Podcast. Bye, everybody.
All right, and until next show, man, we will be
on Patrol. Oh my gosh.